Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. I'm Rick Cleveland. Good morning, Corey Labounty.
Good morning, Coach. Always a pleasure to join you 52 weeks out of the year on the Prep Sports Report.
Mark Lassiter is enjoying some time off with his family and it's good to know that Mark gets a little bit of time off because come June 1, Mark is going to be... Boy, I'm going to tell you, they're going to be overloaded with things that they're going to have to do getting football started over at Bayside Academy. But he is he's out this week, and he'll be back next week. But he's enjoying some time with his family. Dalt Orig's joining us here. He's our producer, and we wouldn't be on the air if it weren't for Dalt, I can promise you. And for what I guess we're going on 18 years, and after coming over here to FM Talk 106.5, it has been just a remarkable, remarkable journey. And, Dalt, you've made that possible, and we certainly appreciate that, pal.
Thank you, Coach. Hope you guys are doing well today.
It's another, what is it, Corey? We say another day where we're way too blessed to be stressed. And I guess our old Viagra basketball coach kind of documented that with us. But things aren't pretty in America right now, folks. And, of course, this is a sports talk show, but we want to address this. And the death of George Floyd was, I don't know any other word to say, but reprehensible. And as a show, as Christ-centered people here, we ask that there be, prayers for that family. And this stuff has got to stop at some point in time, and I don't know how to stop it. I don't know that anybody does, Corey, but it's just a sad, sad day in America when you see a man down and he says, "I can't breathe," that you just continue to do what you're doing.
Reprehensible. I mean, there's just not enough adjectives to describe the murder of one in Minneapolis. But with that being said, Rick, the great thing that here on the Prep Sports Report and doing a high school show amid a pandemic that's infecting this country, amid racism, the one true bond is when you go look come June 1 in these locker rooms, black, white, Asian, does not matter. The locker room and sports are the melting pot of America, of this country. And June 1, still dealing with the coronavirus, there are going to be so many emotional coaches, so many emotional players. And, it's up to coaches to go ahead, because coaches are just like parents to many of these kids, and are that type of role model to where coaches continue to instill the right values. And the sad part is that when you're in a situation to where you feel defenseless, like there's nothing else you can do, no one else you can turn to, and you ask for help and you don't get that help by those who are sworn to protect and to serve, we just have to continue to teach our young student athletes, male and female, about being real, that this is part of the society that we are living and dealing with. But again, the melting pot is that locker room, is sports. It does bring us all back together with some sort of unity, and that's the great part about June 1 when we're starting these activities back up.
There's no doubt about that, Corey. And one of the things I think that we need to understand is those coaches now have an extra added burden that they're going to have to deal with. There's going to be some athletes that are really They're hearing it in the community. They're hearing it from their kin folks, and they're going to bring it into those locker rooms because there's going to be some anger and some animosity. And as we go through that, the coaches' jobs are just going to be more and more important. And they're going to have to be able to monitor things that are going on within their own team. And I'm sure that not only dealing with COVID, which is going to be, I'm telling you, it's almost seems to me to be impossible what coaches are going to have to do in the weight room, on the practice field. But now what we're going to have to deal with as coaches is we're going to have to deal with some animosity that's not aimed at their teammates, but it's just an inner animosity that's aimed at the culture that has been created by these incidents that have taken place in places like Minneapolis. You don't have to look very far to see that the people, I'm telling you, they're burning down cities. They're going to Atlanta last night. You even made the comment while we're off the air, they went into the College Football Hall of Fame and busted up things. This is anger and frustration, and at some point in time we got to get a grip on this. And I don't know the answer. I don't know who has the answer.
Prayer is all you can really do, because this is nothing new. And America just has to stay woke. And again, you have basketball or football or any sport in general, to where certain people are telling athletes to shut up and dribble. Well, you know, everyone has a voice, and you have to use it the right way. And I think that, you know, through not only our Little League grassroots programs and athletics, because again, I've seen way too many locker rooms to where at the end of the day, when a team's striving and sweating to win and grind to win that state championship, you know, they don't look at their teammates as being black or white. And we know the injustices that exist here in America, and they just continue to be thrown in our faces. And I think that's one of the things right now, that this couldn't be hidden any longer.
Yeah.
The light was shining very brightly on Minnesota and the way that this has been dealt with, and the swiftness that a lot of people would like for it to have been. Because again, Rick, when you have to put yourself in somebody else's shoes, and until you can do that, you just don't understand what people are going through until you can experience it. And if you can experience it, like I say, I commend you for speaking up on it, because you see so many African Americans asking their white friends to speak up on it. Don't be silent.
No.
Don't speak on the looting. You know, continue to talk to your children and let them know that there are inequalities that do exist, and sports are a great example of what you can accomplish, and it's a microcosm of what we can accomplish as a country through sports and through unity. But, you know, like I said, a house divided will fall.
Absolutely. And it's chronicled, it's history, it's documented, and it's exactly what happens when there is no unity. So we got to get a grip on it. I don't know the answer, but I know this. I sure pray for George Floyd's family. I can't imagine what his mother is going through. And it's reprehensible. That's the only word I know. We're going to talk sports, but know that we do have a heavy heart, and that heavy heart comes from disasters, and this is a disaster. It's a disaster that's happened, and it's something that we're going to have to deal with on a national level, and it's going to be dealt with on a local level every day that we're together. And the beauty of that is you can watch a football game, and you can watch 11 young men trying to work to accomplish the same goal. Doesn't matter if they're black, white, Asian, Japanese. It just does not matter. They're holding hands trying to accomplish one goal. That's the great thing about our game, that brings different cultures together, and they are united trying to reach one common goal.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why I love the fact that when you sit and you look at the grassroots sporting programs, you see so much diversity in these parks and recreation programs, and you also see a situation to where as you continue to get in middle school and high school, you see a melting pot of student athletes together, communities that come together regardless of color, regardless of gender, regardless of race. They pull for one another and pull for their communities, and that's how you want America to be, and that's what we're going to continue to pray for and strive for.
We want to welcome our friends from Radio Alabama, WIAA 106.5 in Sylacauga, and the Lake 101.5, covering the River Region right there in Montgomery, and a couple of things going on there that we want to touch base on today. When we come back, we're going to talk to our buddy Steve Mass, the head football coach at St. Paul's. Got a signing, or a commitment anyway, from a legacy of another former Tide great, right here on FM Talk 106.5 and Prep Sports Report and Radio Alabama.
The CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to PSR, Radio Alabama, Rick Cleveland, Corey LeBounty. We are, we got Coach Steve Mask on the line. Good morning, Coach. How you doing, pal?
Good, Rick. How are you doing this morning?
Well, we're good. But a couple of things. First of all, Coach Steve Mask, recent inductee, well, not yet, because we've had to postpone it into the Alabama High School Hall of Fame. Also announced as the head coach of the Alabama team in the Alabama-Mississippi game, which I don't know if that's not going to be played. It's just going to play it in December, I think. But anyway, that's just two great things that have happened with him. But one of the things that that I love about Steve Mask is the heart that he has for children. And Steve, I know that you have missed your kids just like we've missed ours at UMS. I know you've missed your kids for 2.5-3 months, and now we can bring them in on June the 1st. And I can only imagine that the Zoom conferences you've had or whatever with your kids and your coaches has kind of, I mean, I would imagine knowing you, it's a little bit emotional.
Well, it has been, and, just so excited about the fact to actually lay eyes on some of them. And, you know, like you say, a computer can only show so much and everything.
Yeah.
But saw a couple of them this week. They started working, you know, Red Campus. We hired some kids in the summer to do work, and so they were they started work this past week. And so very excited to see those guys get back, get some kind of a routine, get some things going. But you're right, man. I'm just so excited to see our guys.
During this pandemic, Coach, you were supposed to be inducted into the Sports Hall of Fame here, and I know that it's been bumped back a couple of times. Talk to us about what that award means to you and gives you an opportunity to reflect on some fine coaches and football players and administrators and family members that you've had to help you get that tremendous and well-deserved award.
Well, I think you said it best. It's going to be, my name's going to be on it and all that, but it's a result of all those folks that you said there, Corey. I mean, you know, you're only as good as the people that you're surrounded by, and I've been very fortunate to have a lot of great assistant coaches and obviously great players and come along with that. And, you know, have a guy like Don Creasy, who's my mentor, that gave me a chance in 1979, and I didn't know an X from an O, and he took a chance on me, and I was with him for nearly 12 years, and I listened and learned. You know, a lot of times I ran my mouth too early, but as I got older, I started listening and learning, and he probably means more to me than anybody in coaching, because without him, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Now, you're talking about a legend when you talk about Don Creasy, and it's not just in North Alabama, it's all over the state of Alabama. When you've coached against him and you've seen his teams play, that is a gentleman, and I use that term, I mean, it is a gentleman, and Don Creasy was the one that not only probably helped you a bunch, but I can name probably 6 or 7 other guys that I know of, just me personally, that just hold him in the highest esteem. Steve, I want to ask you this. Monday, we're going to be able to bring kids in, and
right.
And this concerns me, because I don't know how much work we can get done in weight rooms because, Steve, every time we lift a weight, we got to clean everything around what's going on at every different station. And I don't know how are you guys going about this? How are we going to get this to some point where we can make something happen positive in that short amount of time that we've got with our kids?
Well, actually, we're not bringing ours into to June the 8th. You know, we had put out, the state had put out earlier that, you know, look for June the 8th for the date that we could come back. And we'd already set June the 8th as the date to come back when they gave us June 1st. And I tell you, at St. Paul's, I'm sure UMS, other places, when you set something in stone, you start changing it, causes a lot of problems. I wasn't going to change that date for love of no amount of money. And the other thing that we're talking about due date, Rick, is because our kids just finished classes last week. And they've been mentally stressed on the computer and in the house, everything else. But we're going to approach it about like a pit crew. You know, we're going to try to have three kids per station, and the bar 6 foot long. So you can put them on the end of the bar, get social distance that way. And we're not going to put anybody above them. We're not going to spot, you know, from behind like you would normally in a rack. And basically, we're just going to have a pit crew approach that, you know, the next guy up is going to have something in his hand to clean, and he's going to spray it and wipe it down, and then do it that way. So we got to do the best we can, and the more importantly, just get them together is the biggest thing. The strength part will come, the condition part will come, but we got to be careful. We're going to be careful.
No doubt about that, Coach. And, you know, I've had a lot of coaches to contact me, and I've reached out to a lot of coaches and athletic directors as well about other sports, because we know, you know, football is a game to where you can get, you know, small schools, you can get anywhere from 25 to 30 guys. Your larger schools, you have over 110 guys that are present and accounted for. But what recommendations have you given to your other coaches, whether it be volleyball, whether it be basketball, on, you know, any ideas that you've heard of from the studies that have been given to you or from the meetings that you've been in on a statewide level?
Well, I think the other sports have an advantage on that, though, Corey, because they can spread them out a little bit more. and the numbers aren't as big. We'll dress 90 this fall in football. We can't get 90 there at one time. We're going to do three shifts of them. But, you know, cross country is going to start working out. Volleyball is going to start working out. And baseball is going to do something. Soccer is going to do something. It's a whole lot easier to spread out in those sports than this is football. Right. And so basketball's got a little bit of a, you know, a situation where they can't have some. They can spread them out, do some shooting drills and stuff like that. But we're going to have a meeting Monday with all the head coaches that are doing stuff this summer, and we're going to work it out and make sure our kids are safe. And ours are a bit more challenging than theirs are, but we're going to follow the rules, and we're going to make sure we're done right, and we're going to make sure we take care of those kids. And here's the bottom line: when in doubt, leave it out. Yeah. We're not going
to
do it.
I love to hear that, Coach. And, you know, the regions are changing now. I know you're looking to replace a quarterback, and you've got some other positions that are going to have to be filled. The next man up syndrome, I mean, you're looking at moving down now to 5A Region 1, where you have Faith Academy, Centernale, Jackson, Vigor, Satsuma, Wilcox, and LaFleur. Tell me a little bit about how excited you are to kind of change regions and to get a different look for your guys.
Well, I don't mean to correct you, but Centernale and Jackson aren't in it.
I was looking at last year's regions.
Okay, but that's all right. Well, they're all good. You know, Faith's going to be good, and what's UMS is coming off the state championship. They're going to be good, and don't know a lot about LaFleur or Satsuma. We played LaFleur before, but Satsuma we haven't played, or North Alberta. But, you know, I think we're going to be okay. I think we have a good team. I think we're going to be really good on offensive line and really good on defensive line. If it's a good place to start, you'd love to be good at those two spots. And then we're excited about Bestman Fadden. I think Bestman has a chance to have a really good year at quarterback. And we've got some skill around him. You know, I think for the first time in a while, Rick and I have had this conversation a bunch, but we've always struggled a little bit of depth. We've got a lot of depth this time. You know, we feel like we've got several kids that can play and rotate them in and out, and so that makes me excited.
You know, Steve, we got just about a minute left here, and I know I'm so excited for some of the people. I know a lot of the people in your program. I'm really, you know, I'm excited about Jay and what's going to happen with him at West Florida. But now I see where Roger Schultz's son, Ivan, who played center for you guys, is committed to Chip Lindsey at Troy. That's got to be something that just kind of makes you want to poke your chest out a little bit and say, I'm mighty proud of those kids.
Well, that's a great point, Rick. Thanks for bringing that up. When Ivan came over, he transferred over his sophomore year, and it felt like he had a chance to be good if he'd ever take the next step, be able to work and do hard. And it seemed like that last year the lights went off, and he had a really good year. And then this offseason, he committed himself to be a good player. And he's up about 6'2.5", 6'3", about 295 right now. And from all indications, from talking to him on the phone, he's worked very hard at doing this 2.5 foot deal on what he could get done, very limited what he could get done. But excited for him, excited for Roger. Roger's a great guy. Everybody thinks Roger's fun-loving and all that kind of stuff. But if you get to Roger, was a pretty good football player.
Yeah, he dang sure was. Yeah.
All SEC at Alabama, but I know he's got to be proud that his son's sort of following his footsteps. And Roger had a connection at Troy. Roger worked at Troy for several years.
Yeah.
And so by being there, they were familiar with the campus. And Chip called me yesterday, and Chip was excited about it, as was Ryan Pugh. And talked to Ivan last night. They're all just on cloud nine, and we're happy.
Yeah, that's another one. See, there's another name. You mentioned Ryan Pugh, Tony Pugh's son, and a legacy in high school football, and he's done a great job. Hey, Steve, thanks for taking time with us.
Hey, always a pleasure, guys.
You shoot me a call. We need to hit it some, okay?
We'll do it, brother.
All right, buddy. Love you, pal. Yeah. Take care. We'll
take care, Coach.
Be back with more PSR on Radio Alabama right here from FM Talk 106.5, Mobile, Alabama.
Sports Report is brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to PSR. And what did I do? I don't want to mess with the boss right here. I really don't want to let him go. See, when he starts talking about all my friends being in a small town, you think about the boss. And Springsteen, he's a big city guy. He's a guy that rejuvenated a lot of big towns with his music. And, that's woo. All right, Corey, I thought it was kind of interesting. We're seeing some different things happening in high school basketball. I was talking to a buddy of mine in Birmingham the other day, and he was telling me about Joel Floyd, who's head basketball coach at Pelham. And Joel has left Pelham as head coach there now. He's been there about 10 years, and he's done a heck of a job there. And he's going to go over to Spain Park, and he's going to be an assistant to Chris Latch. And I think the genesis of all of that is that his son Blake is going to be a senior this year. And so what Joel wants to do is he wants to give Blake a chance to play in somebody else's system to give him a better opportunity to maybe go to the next level and play. I think that's an interesting dichotomy of a head coach stepping aside and saying, this is no longer about me, this is about my child. And taking a pretty huge pay cut too now to go over to a rival school and to become an assistant.
Yeah, the thing is, when you're talking about your children and being able to put them in a different situation, this is not the first time that this has happened. This week, Brian Williams steps down at Sidney Lanier in Montgomery, the former University of Alabama All-SEC point guard, who had been at Sidney Lanier for 7 years, and now he's transferring to Pinson Valley, taking his son over to Pinson Valley. Now, Brian will help Daryl Barber as an assistant coach there, but he wanted his son to be able to be taught and hear that head coaching voice from someone else. Now, a lot of people are hollering, and screaming about, shouldn't be able to do this, the rich get richer. But again, anytime you have the ability and capability Brian Williams is a fine man, a fine coach, and he felt he's going to do what's best for his family. He didn't want to be head coach any longer, so less stresses, less responsibility. Let someone else coach your son their senior year, and that's exactly what Brian Williams decided to do, and he's going to get a tremendous head coach in Daryl Barber at Pinson Valley.
Well, and Daryl Barber doesn't need a whole lot of help now. I'll tell you right now. But with him being able to bring Greedy Williams into his program, it's just going to keep going up. It's going to keep going up. And you know what? I think about this. Pinson Valley's a 6A school. But I think about what Bucky McMillan did at Mountain Brook, and now everybody's trying to get to that level. Because the level, I mean, it's been set. And it doesn't matter if you're 6A or 7A, they want to be the best basketball program in Birmingham. And that's what Daryl Barber wants. I can promise you, knowing a little bit from you about Daryl Barber doesn't want to play second fiddle to anybody in his area. And we're talking about Birmingham. He wants to be on top. And you know, if Brian Williams makes that decision to move his son there, then so be it. There's always going to be that chatterbox that there's some recruiting going on. There's always going to be that. And, you know, there may be. But in this case, I salute Brian Williams for what he's done. Stepping away from Sidney Lanier, inner-city basketball in Birmingham, in Montgomery, has gotten better because of the job at Robert E. Lee. And, you know, Jeff Davis is still down. Carver now because J.J. stepped down. But, you know, it's still not as good as inner-city Birmingham. It's not. I'd love to see an eight-team tournament take the best eight teams from the Birmingham metro area and the eight best teams from Montgomery area. I would venture to say that Birmingham 6-2, 5-3, something like that. I don't think it'd be any closer than that. But congratulations, and I salute Brian, and I also salute Joel Floyd for doing what they're doing to help their children.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what it's about. As a parent, you have the prerogative to do what's best for your child. And, you know, like you said, Daryl Barber in Pinson Valley did not want to take that loss to Huffman High School this year. And Coach Steve Ward found a way to become state champions. To be the man, you have to beat the man. And that's exactly what the Huffman Vikings and Coach Steve Ward were able to do this year in basketball. They dethroned the champion. And Daryl Barber says, okay, you know, it's a situation to where I get an opportunity to get some coaching expertise. Anytime you can get a growth as a coach, you want assistant coaches who are better than you. And it's a situation to where you get new ideas, a new way to look at things. And Daryl Barber, he's going to welcome Brian Williams with open arms, like you said, especially with Pinson Valley losing and not being able to get to the apex again this year of high school basketball. So Daryl Barber's cupboard is not bare, because he has probably the number one athlete in the state of Alabama and JaQuincy McQuinstry, outstanding wide receiver, special teams player, outstanding basketball player. So if JaQuincy decides to go ahead and play basketball this season for Pinson Valley, also, you add Brian Williams' son coming in, and it's going to make Pinson Valley right back to where they're used to being.
Never surprised at anything that Daryl, you know, when you look at Daryl Barber and his track record, nothing surprises me about the improvement that he takes a team to. He does a phenomenal job with it. And he's also probably one of the best-dressed high school coaches in America. No doubt about that. I'm not so sure he doesn't have a closet full of Armani suits in there. So
he's sharp.
You know, and another thing, I really, and of course, Prattville is near and dear to me. Spent, 9 years there? And I love the job that's being done there. And I think they just made a super hire in basketball. I think they just stepped out and said, here we go. Steve Roberts, assistant at Alabama State, he played all over the world. I mean, he played professional basketball in about 4 different countries, and was an integral part of that Alabama State staff. But I just think that's a slam dunk for Prattville to hire Steve Roberts. And as a result of that, Steve Rogers, I don't know why I call him Roberts. I've done that all weekend talking to people in Prattville. But that's a program that is going to soar now because Steve has got a lot of contacts, and he will get more and more of those kids that play football that are now going to step in there and play basketball too. That's just a great hire for Prattville to hire Steve Rogers, and I think their program now is going to jump really, really high in that Montgomery area.
Well, the great thing about that opportunity for Steve Rogers is I love seeing when a college coach transitions back into high school. Some high school coaches have college coaching experience and likewise, but anytime you're making that transition back into high school, you take what you learned in college athletics because you know what it takes for your student athlete to make it, not only athletically but academically as well. So that's a huge plus and a great get for Prattville, and that program's only going to continue to get better. A lot of other hires across the state as well. I mean, you look at Decatur hiring a familiar name, Justin Moore, for girls basketball in that position. And he comes to Decatur from Robertsdale. Mm-hmm. So you leave the Baldwin County area, and Justin had done a tremendous job in his time at Robertsdale. He's just a very approachable head coach. Now he's going up north to Decatur, and that's big time for that Decatur program also.
And that's different too. I'm going to tell you, it's a different culture now because in Decatur, girls basketball is premium. Not going to say it's not at Robertsdale, but it's not.
No, that's why you see so many titles in girls basketball be won above the Montgomery line, because there is a different value placed on basketball from a girl's standpoint. But, you know, he's been briefly at Oak Mountain, so he's seen kind of the success that basketball is being had and can have in the northern part of the state. And knowing Justin the way I do, you know, he's going to have an opportunity to really get that program back to where that program for a very long time on the girls and boys side was something to be reckoned with. And I guarantee you he'll have Decatur right back to where he wants them to be and knows that they can be.
Well, there's no doubt about it. When Coach Morris was the head men's basketball coach at Decatur, they were phenomenal, and then they were really good in girls basketball, and they were perennial participants in the Final Four for a long time.
And it's just not, you know, the coaching changes have not just happened in football. And you just mentioned the new basketball coaches. Hoover named Scott Ware their new head coach also. He's familiar with the program. He had been around it, taking over for Charles Burkett, who took over at Athens High School. So you're seeing a lot of transition right here prior to this pandemic being lifted from an athletic participation standpoint. Now all these new coaches can at least lay eyeballs and size up the type of student athletes they'll be working with in 2020 and 2021.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about that, Corey. And, you know, when you look at a situation like that is at Hoover High School, the job that Josh Niblett has done at Hoover in football, he followed the legend. When you follow Rush Probst, like him, dislike him, whatever, what a job he did. He changed football in Alabama. Josh has done a great job. And now Scott Ware is going to follow Charlie Burkett, who did a phenomenal job as a basketball coach at Hoover. But they were always going to be playing second fiddle. It won't be that way at Athens. Charlie Burkett will make Athens one of the premier high school basketball programs in the state. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5 and Radio Alabama.
Segment of the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
There's just some things you don't interrupt. Don't interrupt Chicago and all the horns blowing. Don't interrupt Steely Dan. You don't interrupt Boz Scaggs. Just don't do it. So I just have to step away. And people would a lot rather hear them than they had me, I can promise you. Corey's another thing, though. That's full of knowledge there. We got Lev Holly, head football coach at Blunt On. Good morning, Coach. How you doing, pal?
Good morning. How y'all doing this morning?
We're doing good, but I can promise you, you know what? You got a mark on your back. Do you know that? You got so many doggone good players out there, and I'm so excited for you because, I mean, you have really raised the level of college coaches coming into Mobile because you just got an array of really good football players, Lev, and I'm excited for you guys. As a matter of fact, I'm going to come out and watch you practice if you'll let me because I love to watch great athletes with really outstanding coaches practice and perform in practice.
Well, man, I've been truly blessed, and I don't do nothing without giving praise to God and allow me to work for a great man, Mr. Woods, and the administration, the faculty, the staff, and you know, most often the parents. They give me an opportunity to coach their kids and mentor their kids, and you know, just having a family that supports everything that I do. And man, I've just been truly blessed, man, and it's nothing. I tell everybody, man, I'm nothing without my assistants. I'm nothing without those kids that come in every day and bust their tail and just buy into the culture that we put, you know, that we put in place. And, you know, I talk about a lot of the time of the respect level of those guys that have helped me along the way, you know, the Danny Powells of the world, the Terry Curtis, the Steve Mass, the Ben Harris's, and you know, Jeff Kelly's, those guys, Kerry Stevenson, that gave me an opportunity, that saw something in me to, you know, be put in a position to lead and taught me the fundamentals of coaching. So, man, I'm just truly blessed, and I'm excited to see, you know. But like you say, you talk about a mark being on my back. That's fine. But I know for the most part, man, we're going to go in with that blue-collar mentality, and those kids are going to work their tail off. And if they decide not to get it done, then, hey, those guys that you think are those guys won't be those guys. You know, it's a one-way street there, and that's hard work, that's dedication, that's commitment to the culture, and that's just understanding what it is that has to get done. Not just to make them better football players, but to make them better men, to make them better husbands and fathers moving forward.
And you do a tremendous job doing that, Coach. And, you know, with this pandemic, you all of a sudden you lose your guys. You're preparing for a spring, kind of trying to see what you're going to look like. And I don't know, were you guys going to go inter-squad this spring for a scrimmage, or were you going to go out and actually play against someone this May?
We were actually going to go. We were going to play Theodore.
See, Yeah, that's a great opportunity there, Coach.
Yeah, well, and I thought it was going to be a really good test, you know, moving forward. You know, I really wanted to see where we really were. I thought Fiddle was been a good measuring stick for us moving forward. But, you know, things happen out of our control. But I do think, you know, one thing that this pandemic has done, I know it done for me and guys on my staff and other coaches that I've talked to, it has made us really sit back and look at the importance of other things outside of that little oval ball that we play with. For strengthening relationships with loved ones, man, and, you know, being able to, you know, I've been able to be more involved in my kids' life. So, man, I'm just excited, you know, to get a chance to get back, get some kind of normalcy. It's going to be a little different. Got to learn and live with everything that's been put in place, you know, but we feel really good. You know, we think we'll have a tremendous plan going forward. You know, Brad Lowell, the account AD, you know, he's working his butt off to make sure that things are being done right. Mr. Fred Gill and his administration. And, you know, but it's a total part on everyone's effort. You know, so, man, we're excited just kind of get back and get our eyes on the kids. And, you know, we're going to slow roll it. You know, we're going to break it into three different phases. We're going to break it into treat it more like an off-season, then kind of a spring deal, and then kind of a preseason type deal. So, man, we're not going to go full throttle, but the main thing is making sure those kids are safe, you know, when they're in our presence, and just go from there and let the parents know, hey, that we're going to take care of their kids.
I love to hear that, Coach, and just the approach that you're getting ready to take. And you're doing so with a lot of senior leadership, Coach. I mean, you're looking at a potential All-American in Lee Hunter, who is verbally committed to Auburn. Jarius Williams, a hard running back, has committed to Troy. And then you just recently added one this week with Armani Diamond committing to Louisiana Tech. And you still have a pretty good quarterback out there as well in LaMarcus Brown, who's a dual-threat quarterback. Talk to us about those guys and the leadership they're going to help you and your coaching staff as well.
Well, it's been tremendous. You know, we got all those guys as sophomores, and, you know, that was a year we knew we would be down. Not so much down, but be really young. And I just made a decision, you know, if we was going to lose games, we was going to lose games with some younger guys. And, you know, those guys bought into it. You know, so you're talking about, you know, and I always, one of the things I always say is that, hey, you know, if you're gonna go through the rain, you got to be prepared for the mud that's going to come with it. So that was kind of the saying that we had going in. And, you know, you can see the development, the leadership. And, you know, from day one when LaMarcus Brown came in, when Lee Hunter came in, you know, those guys made their mark. They won the team over. And, you know, Armani Diamond came in. He transferred to us from McGill. And, you know, he came in and put his stamp on things. And, you know, then you had a guy like Connor Howard who was already there. And Jazz Wilson who was already there. And, you know, so you just kind of, you know, just put it all together. You know, we were fortunate enough this year to, you know, bring in a couple guys from Davidson that, you know, that was already in our district that moved in. And so we're excited about those guys. And, you know, you look at this week, man, Kevin Eaton, who will be a 2-year, 3-year starter for us. And, you know, he obtained his first offer. Marion Williams, who obtained his first offer. And, so just the leadership side of those guys, man, they are really good kids. And, you know, I give credit to their parents and how they're raising them. You know, they have guys that come in, they work hard every day, man, and they set the mold. You know, I think any time that, you know, when coaches set the tone, but when it comes time to get it down, you got to have guys that's in that locker room that take control and guys that understand the culture and they live by day by day. But, you know, they're held to those standards, not by just coaches, but by their teachers. You know, and teachers they're part of it. They understand what we want done, and it's kind of just an all-in approach. You know, and again, it starts at the top. And I tell everyone, I think I work for the best principal in the city, not just city, but the state. You understand, he's an old coach, and, man, just fortunate to be where we really are.
You know, Lev, and you say that so well, but you are so right. Jerome Woods is so, so well respected throughout this state. But I'm going to tell you, the coach that he's hired there and the coach that he's got there is pretty much respected throughout this state, too. And we appreciate what you do, pal. You just keep plugging. And it's good to have that X on your back because you've earned that. And let them have some of it. They might not want as much as y'all can give them, I can promise you. But,
well, that's fine. You know, and again, Miss Cleveland, man, I'm excited. You know, but man, I just never lose focus and just thankful, you know, yeah, that I've been able to work my way up the ranks and be able to say that, hey, I've been a part of some of the best coaching in the United States. I've been a coach in Alabama. And every day I go in, I just try to represent it well, represent my family, represent the people that have been there for me and those that I can help along the way. But I think it's all about paying it forward. You know, so very thankful for those that have helped me.
Thanks a bunch, Coach. Take care and have a great summer. God bless.
Thank you.
See you soon. We'll be back with more PSR.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty.
This is the day of the expanding man. That shape is my shame, there where I used to stand. It seems like only yesterday I gazed through the glass at Rambler.
Do not interrupt that. That's just a staple, PSR, and will be for as long as my Heavenly Father allows me to talk on the air. That's Steely Dan, folks. You folks in Sylacauga know him well. Boz Skaggs is right behind him, and we love that kind of music. I don't know. Ryan Little is younger. might not know a lot about Steely Dan or Boz Scaggs, and but I tell you what he does know, and he's done a great job as defensive coordinator over at Theodore, and I know that they're going to hate to lose him over there. He's tackling a mountain of a job, one that I'm sure that he is up for, and I know he's excited about it. I know his family's excited about it, as Ryan Little has accepted the head football job at Chickasaw High School. And you know, you just kind of get really excited for these guys when they get their first head coaching job. And I think Ryan's what, maybe 35, 36 years old, and it's a great job for him, and we're excited for him. Ryan, good morning, and welcome to PSR. Rick Cleveland, Corey LeBounty, we're excited for you, pal, and kind of go through some of the emotions that you felt, first of all, leaving Theodore and then taking on a new opportunity over at Chickasaw, pal.
Well, good morning. Thank y'all for having me on. First off, I had a great experience at Theodore. I learned a lot from Coach Collier, and really there's several really good guys on staff, and I thought it was a very well-run program, and I took a lot with me. So I have nothing but good to say about that, and I think it's one of the most organized, well-run programs, not just in Mobile but in the state. And and I'll definitely be implementing the way it was organized at Chickasaw as much as I can. But I'm very excited about it. We got a lot of work to do, and this the COVID-19 stuff is an extra deal, but we're not gonna look at what we can't control. We're gonna look at what we can.
You're inheriting a team that went 6-4 in 2019, losing in the first round of the playoffs, but you're making that jump to 3A football. And I know that, you know, you can say football is football, 11-on-11, hat on a hat. Execution is going to be the key, but in order to get the guys in a position to win, you have to have great assistant coaches. And the board gave you a heads up and kind of got you ahead of the pandemic curve by allowing you to bring in a offensive coordinator, an assistant head coach, Carl Herring Jr. So I know you're happy that you're able to start already putting together a staff.
Yes, sir. No doubt. And I thought we all at Chickasaw hit a home run with CJ. He's been coaching offensive line for a while, and the last couple of years has been the coordinator at Citronelle and done a really good job. I coached against him when I was the defense coordinator at Jackson, and coached with him a year a while back, and I've always had a lot of respect for him. He's one of my good friends too, but I was very, very happy to get him on. He's going to do an outstanding job. And then we were able also to bring in another young guy to get board approved too, just going to be teaching and coaching with us, Michael Miles, and I think he'll do a great job. But CJ is a great, great leader of guys, and also is a really good offensive mind, so I'm pumped to have him.
Now, again, you being a defensive guy, you had an opportunity this past year to coach an All-American in DeMoy Kennedy, and I know Chickasaw has produced some pretty good football players. I know you've had an opportunity probably on Zoom to meet some of your players and possibly your parents as well, but when you come in on June 1, are you coming in on June 1 or are you going June 8?
We're actually going to go June 2nd. I'm just now getting some equipment things set up with technology and getting staff. We're having our staff, and we want to get it and be going full out. So we've got a parent and coaches meeting, a parent and player meeting June 2nd at Tuesday night at 6, and we're going to talk about expectations and just meet everybody and kind of get the direction. And we're going to open it up, and we'll kind of meet and greet, and then get organized, and we're going to be blazing June 8th coming out the gate.
Now, I know you're very excited to be part of this Chickasaw Nation, and part of Welcome to the Saw is kind of what your athletic director has kind of introduced you as, Ricky Ruffin. And I know you're happy to be working with Coach Ruffin and new Chickasaw superintendent, Dr. Wadford. But talk to us about not only Chickasaw, but your past experiences as a head coach, as an assistant coach. You mentioned what you learned at Theodore, but what kind of defensive prowess will you be having? Will you be your own defensive coordinator? Will you allow somebody else to do that, or how is that going to work on Friday nights?
This first year, especially, I'm going to coordinate the defense. I think, you know, one of my mentors, Coach Lee, said you want to dance with the lady that you brought. And I think if there's anything I've been able to do pretty well over the last few years is run a good defense. I've had some really good people around me, but I feel confident in that. And of course, we're gonna have some really, really good assistants because we all gonna be in it together. But yeah, I'll coordinate the defense, and Coach Herring can do the offense. As far as where we got, I'm a 3-4, you know, 3-man front. We'll be multiple, but we'll always start off in the 3-man. And basically, it's real simple. I just feel like it's easier to add to the box than it is to subtract. And as multiple as offenses are across the board, you want to be able to do that. But I've had some good experience at Jackson under Coach Powell. I was with Coach Lee for a while with Rick Colley, with Eric Collier, and then I had a year in Georgia, which was good. And I had one stint as a head coach at Fruitdale, and that was a really good experience. Worked for a real good principal, Kurt Stagner, and I had a great time. We just thought we was going to move to Georgia for a long time, and we had a surprise baby that kind of pushed us back this way, which I'm very happy it did now. Exactly. And we realized we needed some family help, so that's why we started looking back this way, and I was fortunate to have a couple good years, and set me up for this year. I couldn't be more excited.
Ryan Little, the new head football coach at Chickasaw, I know you're going to do a tremendous job and can't wait to meet the parents and the players of the Chieftain Nation there in Chickasaw. And again, I want to personally thank you for helping Al Whedon and myself on the MCPSS broadcast when we had an opportunity to broadcast Theodore High School football game. So thank you for always getting us the stats that help us to understand what you're trying to do and bring to the masses. So thank you for always being on that as well.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all. I love when I'm not in the middle of it, I love listening to y'all. I think all y'all do a great job. And thank you so much for what you do with high school sports.
Thank you, Ryan. And we're pulling for you, pal. Have a great year. Take care. We'll be in touch.
Thank you so much.
All right, buddy. You know, that's kind of neat. He's worked for some really good people. I'm going to tell you that. And to have spent the last couple of years with Eric Collier is nothing but a feather in his cap. I'm excited for him. Anytime you get a guy that is full of enthusiasm, he's got a lot of different philosophies that, you know, he talked about a lot of different. I know he worked with Danny Powell. There's a different philosophy from Danny Powell and Eric Collier, but they have the same goals because they both have a great love and passion for children. And he worked for Rick Colley, same thing there. He worked for Ron Lee, same thing there. So, you know, he's got the pedigree to do a good job. This is just me. I'm still worried about the location of Chickasaw in between Satsuma and Saraland and how they're going to be able to really be as good as those two programs can be. I don't know that can happen.
You know, one of the things that Coach Lasseter mentioned last week is anytime you see a program go up in classification,
right,
that is a good thing. That means that the school is growing and not shrinking or staying where it is. So going from 2A football to 3A football, that does mean that there's an opportunity there for that program, for kids to continue to come into that school and want to be part of the Chickasaw Nation. So I love to see that. And they've got a home run here that they've hired. Coach Little's going to do a great job. And, you know, it's kind of been a revolving door of Chickasaw football.
Yeah.
And I think the stability there, him wanting to be hungry and set roots there, given the opportunity, I think he'll do a great job.
Well, he certainly got his work cut out for him, but he's full of enthusiasm, and that's what you got to have when you take a job like that. You know what? We got a long-lost Scooter is on the line, and we will get to him right after the break, okay? Scooter, you sit tight. Tom Brady's not in New England anymore. He's down in Tampa. I wonder how Scooter feels about that. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5 and Radio Alabama.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
He came from somewhere back in how long ago.
Never fails. never fails, Dalt. Dalt always hits us up with people like Steely Dan, Boz Scaggs, and now Michael McDonald. You know, Michael McDonald was supposed to go on tour with the Doobie Brothers this summer. They've canceled that tour as a result of COVID. Gonna reschedule that. Guess what?
What's that, Coach?
I will be there. I will be there in New Orleans. I will be there in Nashville. And heck, if they play it, Waterloo, wherever Waterloo is, I'll probably be there too if I can drive there. But that's canceled. But Coach will be there, either by myself or with Cajun Girl, or you know, I don't know. I don't know where. I just don't know. But I know I'm going to be there. Michael McDonald and the Doobie Brothers. Scooter, what are you doing, man?
Hey, Rick, I missed you.
Man, I'm okay. I'm good.
Corey, how you doing, man? I missed you too.
Scooter, I always miss you, my friend. Oh, you're my Saturday morning breakfast, buddy.
Where's Mark Lasseter today?
He's on vacation. He's taking a break with Michelle, and they're down at the beach and enjoying themselves.
Tom Brady will make the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a contender.
Okay, I believe you. He's got a great tight end, I can tell you that.
Rob?
No, not Rob. I want you to know. You don't know who the starting tight end for Tampa Bay was last year?
No, I didn't follow him that
Tell
much.
Tell him,
Corey.
O.J. Howard.
That's
when
right.
I think of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think of the Selmans.
Yeah, well, they were pretty good players, I can tell you. They sure were. Hey, Scooter, we got a guest just lined up on our line, but we have missed you. We've missed you terribly.
You missed that Scooter Pump.
I do miss that Scooter Pump, and I want you to give that pump, but I want you to keep calling us in on Saturday. We miss you, pal.
You want Scooter Pump? You got Scooter Pump. Woo!
Take care, Scooter. We love you, pal.
God bless you.
God bless you, pal. You know, we're going to go. Let's go to the line now. Let's go to the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication lines. Let's talk to Bill Smith. Of course, Bill Smith is coming home, to be honest with you. I go way back with Bill Smith for a lot of reasons, keeping up with his coaching career. He coached for four seasons over on off 280 at Shades Valley. And then he went kind of close to home over in Talladega County, went up to Munford and did a great job there. I know while we're at UMS, we always kept seeing Munford pop up in there. And I told Terry one day, I said, that's where Bill Smith is. And they're going to be good. And just recently, he was at Fayette County. I guess Walden Tucker's son, I guess, must have pulled out of there, and doggone if Bill didn't have an 8-3 record there, and now he's gonna hit the road again. He's going home. He's gonna go over to Huffman. I know David Cutcliffe and I used to have some great battles when we were at Banks High School coaching against Huffman. Bill Smith, good morning. Welcome to PSR. We're glad to have you on. Rick Cleveland, Corey LeBounty, pal.
Rick and Corey, thank you so much for having me on. It's a beautiful day, and I appreciate talking with you guys.
You know, I want to tell a funny story about this. Somebody was telling me this story, and it may have been Steve Savarese. We were talking about Bill Smith one day, and all good stuff, Bill, I want to tell you that. And Bill was a punter in high school, and he was also he was a quarterback. And he decided he had two or three, I don't know, he might have had 23 or 30 Division II offers. And Steve said he walked on at Alabama, and he was going to be a linebacker. And Steve's, you know, Cornelius played for Steve at Inslee.
Right.
And he said, Bill saw Cornelius and Derek. And he said, heck, let me punt, Coach. I guarantee you.
it's a true story. I tell this to my kids wherever I've been. And, you know, I've coached in Mobile and Muscle Shoals and Russellville and everywhere in between. But I've told my kids, be grateful for any offer that you get, whether it's, you know, whether it's SEC or whether it's Division III or NAIA. I had dreams of being an SEC, you know, linebacker, quarterback, and so I had some partial, I had some half offers to Jacksonville State and to UNA, and those were fantastic offers. But you know, I had some newspapers and different people tell me that, you know, I was just a little bit undersized to be a quarterback because I wasn't 6'2", and I maybe was a step slow to be running back, or maybe this or that. And so I didn't believe them. And so when I get to Alabama, I walk on. I was invited to walk on. And so I get there, and just Derek Thomas and Cornelius Bennett and just unbelievable linebackers. And I saw what SEC linebackers looked like, and I didn't look like that. So be grateful for offers that you get. It's an amazing way to be able to play football and have your education paid for, and or at least part of it, and then So, but anyway, that's my Derek Thomas story.
Say that louder, Coach. What you just said needs to echo with every student athlete across the state of Alabama. If you have an offer, don't turn your nose up at any offer, whether it's Division III, II, Power 5, does not matter. Junior college, nothing wrong with that. Having an opportunity to further your education is what it's all about. So I appreciate you for bringing that to the light, because I think student athletes need to hear more of that. And now you've come in a situation to where you're taking over this Huffman Viking program, and this Huffman Viking program was 2-8 last season, but you're having an opportunity to build relationships now with players during this pandemic. And now that June 1 has been the turnaround day, what day will you actually be able, is it June 1 that you plan on talking to your coaches and your players face to face?
Well, you know, the crazy thing is about 9 weeks ago, John Lyons and Principal Lyons and Assistant Principal Hammonds officially offered me the job about 9 weeks ago. And so, you know, I tried to be patient in a pandemic and wait until the Board of Education approved me. And so, you know, you guys know that you can be offered a job in high school and you're officially not hired until the Board of Education, you know, votes and approves you. And so, it was about 8 or 9 weeks later. It actually was just a week ago before I was officially approved. And so I had never done Twitter. And so I had done Facebook years ago and sort of gave it up when I got engaged. And I haven't done social media. My wife had done Twitter. And so so I got offered the job, and then I started, you know, we're quarantined or you know, safer at home and all this stuff. And so my wife was like, there's a young man named John Darius Morgan followed me on Twitter, and LaMondre Brooks, and I said, that you know, that's our Huffman players. So it's funny how word got around when it was kind of hush hush that I'd gotten the job. And they started following my wife on Twitter, and then so I did an official Twitter page for me. And so I've been able to, during this pandemic, developed some relationships through social media with my guys. And so we're not going to be able to start practice at Huffman until June the 8th. And I haven't even had a parent meeting yet, so we're deciding on when that parent meeting is going to be. Looks like it's going to be Tuesday evening. So I'll get to meet my kids face-to-face and maybe wearing a mask and all that stuff that's required and social distancing. And as I've gotten older, I'm 53 now, I'm a hugger. So this social distancing thing is tough. And I refuse to say the new normal and the connotations of it. So I'm praying that the good Lord takes care of this virus and removes it as far as the east is from the west, and we get back to... I hope that we've learned some things during this time, though. And I think maybe that we have.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt, Bill, and one of the things I think it's done is it's brought us as family back together, and people have spent more time together with their family. I want to ask you a question about Fayette County, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Been coaching 42 years, and Walden Tucker is a name that has always resonated with me because they were so good for so long, and then his son came in there. How was that coaching in a place where there was a legend had been there, and of course you coached at Shades Valley and Higg had been there, so but tell me how that was, and we've only got about a minute and a half to go here, so kind of go over that with me.
Yeah, it's I love the kids here. They've been fantastic at Fayette County, and but it, you know, I had some people to ask me, are you not worried about going to a place where, you know, the same last name has been the head coach since 1984?
Yeah.
And so that really didn't bother me. If I had been a young coach, if I'd been in my early 30s, late 20s, you know, it might have. But I've had nothing but pleasant conversations with Walden and with Lance and with Luke and their mom and everything. So you know, he built a dynasty here, and I had a great program. And so, but I, you know, that's really all I can say.
Well, and that's very well answered. You are going into a situation with a tremendous, tremendous basketball coach in Steve Ward, and
absolutely.
I know that you will compliment him well, and it'll be a great relationship. And there is nothing, no place I enjoyed coaching any more than over on that side of Birmingham at Banks with David Cutcliffe.
Yes,
you're going to have a blast there. Of course, you're back home, but we wish you nothing but Godspeed, and we'll be in touch at PSR. Corey will be in touch with you a lot, and we'll want to have you back on as much as possible.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it, and go Vikes.
Thank you.
Be safe, Coach, and pound up Coach Ward for me.
All right, guys.
We'll do it.
Take care. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5 and Radio Alabama.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
I remember the 35 sweet.
Welcome back to PSR, Radio Alabama. Rick Cleveland, Corey LaBounty. You know, tragedy bespeaks us. It's something that we deal with here on PSR really on a weekly basis. And we have started our show for 18 years. Our pre-game ritual is to share our faith and prayer. And with each member of our team here at PSR. And we will always do that. One of the hard things this morning is dealing with death of a tremendous student athlete. Jamari Smith led Robert E. Lee to a 7A state basketball championship this past season. He had signed a football scholarship with Bill Clark and the UAB Blazers, and Bill, I know, was elated to get a young man of his caliber, of his athletic ability and his character to be a part of his program. His high school coach, Bryant Johnson, joins us this morning. Coach Rick Cleveland, Corey LaBounty, our hearts are heavy for you and the entire Robert E. Lee family with the loss of Jamari at Chautauqua State Park this past week. Share with us that which needs to be shared about the life of Jamari Smith, because I know he made a difference in a lot of your players' lives, and I am certain that he made a difference in your life, Coach.
Yeah, most definitely he did. Today, for some reason, I'm just real sad and kind of like emotional and heartbroken because, you know, it's like, this is like the third kid in like 4 years that died under our program, that was within our program, so to speak. Like starting with Roderick Scott and Shaquille O'Neal, even though he was out of school, he passed, and now Jamar, who was on his way to being an outstanding athlete, and always had a great attitude, a great smile, a great personality that drew people to him everywhere he went. And was just an amazing person, more so than athlete. And he will be missed in this community as well as this state.
Coach, Corey LaBounty here, and I'll tell you, I found out the news from Kirvin Lang, and I know you know Kirvin very well, because he's just a tremendous promoter of high school sports, of high school basketball in this state, and cut up a lot of Chop's highlight films from the clinic that Chop put on when y'all came down here to Mobile, Alabama this past December. And, you know, one of the things about your team this year, your state championship team, is the way that the guys had fun playing the game of basketball and the enthusiasm that Chop had and the smile that he had. And again, the athleticism that he brought, he's part of why this Spring Hill tournament, the Gulf Coast Holiday Classic, was successful this past year, because people paid to come see him. When you see the highlight film of him, you'll never be able to take away his enthusiasm, his smile, his athleticism, and how much fun and love he had for his teammates, for you, and the game of basketball.
Yes, sir, most definitely. I totally agree with you 100% on that. You know, it's just like you were saying, the kid was enthused all the time. He was excited about getting the opportunity to go to UAB and play football. And I just knew if he would have made it there, he was going to be an NFL prospect. I knew that because this kid is his athletic tier is right in there with Henry Ruggs as far as his athletic ability. He might not be as fast, but for his other things, for his jumping and agilities and things of that nature, he's right there with Henry. He's one of the better athletes that I ever coached. I'm opportunity to coach. I can say that. If not the best. And, you know, he played multiple sports. He probably could play baseball, too, if he wanted to. But the main thing, though, I'm going to miss about tomorrow is just having the opportunity to interact with him in the way he interacted with people. But one thing I always remember, the last thing he said to each other was, I love you. So I did get the opportunity to tell the kid I love him before he left. So that means a lot, too.
And it means so much to so many others, Coach. And I cannot thank you enough because I know the struggles and the heart. Just how much your heart has been bleeding for this Robert E. Lee program. You mentioned this being the third death in 4 years for your Robert E. Lee program. And some coaches don't have to go through any deaths through their tenure in coaching, and some are not as close as you were with all of your players. And that's one of the things I want to commend you for, the bond, the fatherhood figure, the brotherhood that you've created at Robert E. Lee, the culture of just doing things the right way. For those listeners who don't know, here's a Robert E. Lee team that while they were at the state tournament in Birmingham, they saw a homeless man underneath the interstate, and they decided as a team to go ahead and buy him some snacks and give him some money. And he couldn't believe that young people were approaching him with their generosity, and one of the first young men to extend a hand to him was Jamari Chop Smith and to speak with him. And his enthusiasm, it was just so contagious because not only did he have a great smile, he brought smiles to others. And I think that speaks volumes about his life, Coach. And I know I'm thankful that I had an opportunity to cover him as a journalist here in the state of Alabama. I know that you're blessed that you had an opportunity to coach him and just to take on the attributes that Jamari had and teach them to your other kids, you know, to let their legacy never be forgotten, whether it's Rod Scott, to never let the legacy that he had to be forgotten. I know you're going to continue to do that, Coach.
Yes, sir. Most definitely that, because, you know, he was a real supporter of Rod, and Rod was one of his favorite players, too, coming up, because I'll never forget that Rod Trummer. I see a young man come up to me, young at the time, and said, Coach, I really want to come to Rob D. Lee, and I want to wear number 3. And that was before we had retired Rod Jersey, and it was Jamari Chop Smith then. And later on this year, what's so crazy about the whole thing is that right before the season, he like, Coach, when we win the state championship, you're going to retire my jersey, aren't you? And now I'm looking back like, I can see that little smile on his face, little smirk on his face, like, you going to retire my jersey, Coach? I said, we win it tomorrow. I had to consider that. And with everything going on, it's probably going to happen.
Yeah. And Coach, again, I just want to thank you for joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report, and thank you for the way that you lead young student athletes, the way you're helping to shape and mold them, and taking a chance here on Mobile, Alabama, and bringing your talented state championship squad down to Mobile to play in the Gulf Coast Holiday Tournament, not only this past year, but a couple of years ago as well. So I thank you for that, and thank you for being such a role model. Thank you for your time. And just know that not only our prayers and encouragement coming from Prep Sports Report, but from all over. You'll be continued to be showered with prayers and blessings on you, your family, and the Robert E. Lee program.
Yeah, thank you, Corey. That means a lot. Thank y'all for having me, too.
Coach, thank you so much. Know that our hearts are heavy as a result of what has transpired, but we know God will give you the courage to step forward and remember that life in the way that it needs to be remembered.
Yes, sir. Thank you very
much. Take care, Brian. Brian Johnson, head basketball coach at Robert E. Lee High School. And please remember he and all the Robert E. Lee family as they're going through a really tough time now with the death of one Jamari Smith.
And Rick, people, I've been asked, well, how did he die? He did drown. And it's just an unfortunate situation. He drowned in a lake. And you know, it's one of those things that when you get that phone call, you don't want to believe, you don't believe. But it just goes to show the importance of water safety. It just goes to show the importance of telling people that you love them on a daily basis and not letting that slip. And Coach brought it to light here on the Prep Sports Report. Before that young man went out, before Chop went out to the lake, he had an opportunity to tell him he loved him. And that there's nothing like that for Coach. And again, our hearts are just real heavy for that program.
No doubt about it. And as we close out this segment, there are a couple of just wonderful people that touched my life in a very particular way. We were just talking to Bill Smith, who's a new head football coach at Huffman High School. This past week, we lost a true legend from Huffman High School. One of the finest men I've ever known that probably changed high school baseball in many ways. Phil English was a baseball coach at Huffman High School. Phil won over 566 games, won two state championships, coached for 28 years, coached at Inslee and Banks, Hewitt Trustful, and also at Huffman High School. Tremendous man. He will be sorely missed. Just a man of great character and one who made a lot of difference in a lot of young people's lives. And then finally, up in Gadsden, Alabama, Ormond Brown, 50 years as a basketball and football official. He died this past week. Ormond not only officiated high school sports, he was an SEC official for 17 years. A dear friend, Phil English, Ormond Brown, you will be remembered, and thank you. And blessings to your families.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Considered a great joy, my brothers.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahoe, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace. Hadn't done that in a while. Considered a great joy, my brothers. Whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. You may not recognize that. That comes from the first chapter of James, the second through the fourth verses. You know, young people today are commonly confused by discipline, seeing it as punishment rather than a virtue needed to train effectively. This will or discipline of a competitor can be seen in how he or she perseveres through tough times. Corey, we go back to 1992 to the Olympics, and there were some really tense moments during those Olympics, and really one amazing story that stood out above all the other stories. There's a young man by the name of Derek Redmond, and he was a top competitor in the 400-meter race, and he had qualified for the finals. And as the gun sounded and runners took off, Redmond pulled up with a torn leg muscle. I know you've seen it. We've all seen it on ESPN and all of the highlights. But Derek Redmond's got a torn leg muscle right at the beginning of the 400-meter race. And he was determined to finish. He hobbled around the track. At the third turn, who came out of the stands? Nobody but his father.
His father came from the stands, really knocking officials down, to escort his son to the finish. When asked why they had to finish the race, Redmond replied, "We started this together, and we finished this together." You see, Redmond had the will to never give up. Hebrews, one of my favorite chapters in the books in the Bible, encourages us to throw off everything that slows us down and to finish the race by keeping our eyes on the prize, and that would be Jesus Christ. Redmond and his father kept their eyes on the finish line. Questions today are, do we keep our eyes on the finish line of faith? Our Heavenly Father wants us to have the will of a champion and not quit until we've made it successfully to the end. He is ready to carry us across the finish line.
1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And how do you win, Rick? It's a situation to where in culture and society and today, you know, we are all in a race.
Yep.
And we're all in a race together. And I say that in all races are in it together and need to be together. And the one who receives the prize are those who ultimately have the faith and the compassion that only God can give us. And if we have faith, if we have compassion, we know that that race will be run, and at the end, it will be said to us, you know, job well done, my good and faithful servant. And that's what we all strive for at the end of the day, Rick. You know, all of us in life are not given the same advantages than others. Some get a head start in life, but that doesn't mean that we can't catch them and catch up with them and pass them. Or if one falls, you stop to pick somebody up, to help them cross that finish line together. And, you know, that team analogy, together, everyone achieves more. You know, Rick, I would be doing you a disservice. You would be doing me a disservice as my friend and as my brother, or just as the common person, to where when you see wrong being done, to not try to right that wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that's where in society we can grow and continue to get better and move forward instead of backwards.
You know, too often we're afraid to do exactly what you said, Corey. You know, and Scripture teaches us that when we see a brother or a sister doing that which they should not do, which brings harm to them personally, we should intercede and step up and say, what you're doing is wrong. You know, it's hard to look at somebody else's life and tell them they're doing wrong when we're doing wrong in our life. And, you know, we all have that sheath of sin that we wear.
No doubt.
We do.
And we all fall short.
Yep. Yeah, and so in today's world, and this is so appropriate because of what's going on in our world today, right here in the United States, right here in Atlanta, Georgia, Minneapolis, Minnesota, all over the United States right now, we have seen wrong done and we do not intercede. And so, you know, as we started the show today, as we talked about that which has been done wrong, when someone says, I can't breathe, we need to give them air. And that's what we're all about. We want to give you air. We want to allow you to breathe. We want you to breathe that which God has given us and be able to enjoy. There are so many things that are going on in America today that we need to step up and say, this is wrong. Let's do what we can do to correct that wrong.
You know, one of the things that my mom, Sarah Lynn Andrews, and I love you, Mom, thank you for teaching me this lesson. You know, you go to Bible school and you hear the songs, Jesus Loves the Little Children, Red and Yellow, Black and White. It's so simple when you start to think about it, you know, because if God and Jesus can love everyone, there's no reason that we can't either. And I do believe hate is a learned procedure, but humanity, it doesn't take much for us to take the compassion. And again, it goes back to our first opening segment of this show, Rick, to where as coaches and as teachers, we teach our kids the right way to love one another and to speak up on social injustices, to speak up on bullying in school systems, right, to speak up when you see something that is just not morally correct. And not to falsely accuse others of a different race or a different nationality because of the hatred that may dwell within you. And I guarantee, you know, with prayer, we're going to not only beat this pandemic, we're going to go ahead and find a way, even though it may be a road that's long traveled. It may be one step at a time, but we'll find a way to eradicate the racism and the hate that exists in our society as well.
Well said, Corey. And I want to end today by congratulating two of Mobile's finest. I coached against years ago. Young man named Bobby Henley played out at Grand Bay, just got his World Series ring with the Washington Nationals. Coaches third base for the Washington Nationals and the assistant general manager of the Washington Nationals is our buddy Dan Jennings. Congratulations to Bobby Henley and Dan Jennings on receiving those World Series rings. Well done. Job well done. Thanks for being a part of our show this morning. 52 weeks out of the year, we're starting year 18. Look forward to another great year. And remember this, no matter what you do, no matter wherever you go, He is always with you. God bless you. See you here. Same place, same time next week.